good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? You can do better than that. Amen? These have been amazing things that we've seen this week, and I was thinking about the different songs that we were singing, and we've seen God. I mean, Tom, they did not have any hope for Tom. I'm just going to be honest with you. And the doctors were, they were like, his brain is on fire, and we don't know how to put it out. There wasn't an answer for him. And his eyes were open, and he was awake when Steve got there. That's the power of God to bring someone back from the dead. He was basically gone to them, and the Lord brought him back. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We've seen supernatural restoration to Mason this week. I mean, the Lord walked him through that surgery, and what could have been really, really bad was not really bad for him. These are reasons to praise the Lord. These are reasons that we should be getting excited. Amen? Amen. So for our tithes and offerings this morning, one other thing I just wanted to share just very, very quickly, we had another praise report. We had two different incidences in our school district this past week, and it was exciting as a mom to see, and an aunt, to see what came out of Luke and Ella in one of them. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to embarrass you both, but just a little bit. But they had a lockout, which means that there were threats against the school, and so no one was allowed to come in or leave. They got to do their regular stuff, but how many people know in the day and age we live in when there's a threat, immediately kids are going to be thinking about what has happened to other schools, right? And you may say, well, it turned out to be nothing, and no. For a teenage kid, it's the same as if there was something really happening, amen? And it just blessed my heart. I was texting Luke, and he sent me a picture of him reading his Bible in class while it was going on. And he's like, therefore, do not worry, Mom. You know, I mean, he's preaching back to me, and I was like, oh, my word, you were supposed to have lunch today. You didn't take any lunch with you because you're supposed to have it at school, and he sends me a verse back. Man does not live on bread alone. So you can see his humor in the midst of what could have been a critical thing, right? And then it really blessed my heart with Ella. Ella's response, you know, you can be in the middle of a situation, and just because you're scared or you're afraid doesn't mean you can't have faith. Because that emotion will try to rise up, but it's what you do and what you speak and what you say that really shows your heart and what you believe. So you can be in the middle of that thing, and it can be going on all around you, and you can say, but you know what? I choose to put my trust in Jesus. And that's what she did, and she did a really cool Instagram, I don't know, message or whatever it's called. So not just for herself, but she shared it with her peers. The verse in Proverbs that talks about he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. She's declaring in the middle of this, oh no, there are angels. I might be scared, but I know that there are angels surrounding me. The song behind that she had put her post was that he's never failed and he won't. He's never failed me yet, and he's been faithful for generations, and he won't fail me now. Amen? That's the kind of exciting thing that we are seeing with our kids. Amen? That God is raising up a generation that says, devil, you may take a swing at me, but guess what? I'm going to swing back, and I'm going to grab my friends with me. You're not going to put fear on them either. Amen? And a lot of times we think if we have a scared thought or a fear feeling that disqualifies us. No, it doesn't disqualify you to have that feeling or that thought. Amen? What it does is it shows us when you got shaken, what came out of you? We saw faith come out of both of these kids this week. Powerful example of what God is doing in our youth. So thank you, Luke and Ella, for blessing your aunt and blessing your mom this week with that response. Thank you, Jesus. Because God doesn't fail, and he's our protector and our defender. Amen? So when something tries to come up in your life and it goes boo, don't freak out. Even if you have fear for that moment, you say, no, I'm taking my stand. You're not messing with my kids. You're not messing with my finances. You're not messing with my emotions. You're not messing with my body. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my presence. Do you see the difference that we can have in Christ? And that's knowing who you are in him. Every morning, my kids and my nieces, we go through a prayer every morning, and we pray over all of those campuses. So in my mind, in my heart, I already knew the police may just have arrived. But the angelic hosts, they've been there since this morning. They've been watching over things since this morning. So I started declaring, oh no, no fear, no incidents, nothing. Mm-mm. My children are protected by the power of his name. You see the difference that we can have, the authority. But if you don't know the word and you don't go over the word, and sometimes people say, well, you know, you can make your statement every day, but what does it matter? It matters a lot. It matters a lot, because if your words are speaking faith, then when those things come to shake or rattle you, you know what's going to come out? Faith. Faith is going to come out. Faith is going to come out. And when you know who you are in Christ, you have that authority to speak to that. That was a bonus. Okay, so we are in, what letter are we on now? H. So we are doing our ABCs of tithes and offering, and we are on letter H. And it says this morning, honoring the Lord first is a weighty thing. I don't know if weighty is correct verbiage, but it works, right? In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. Honor. Honor isn't something we talk about as much anymore. It used to be a bigger and a heavier meaning with it, especially with someone who served in the military or someone who had a place in authority. Honor was an act of reverence almost, that you were honoring that person. It was a special thing. And when I was looking up the definition in the Hebrew for this word, it says to be heavy, weighty. Oh, good. I guess weighty is a word, because that came out of the concordance. Burdensome, abounding, achieve honor. So sometimes when people bring their tithes and offerings, and we should come with joy, absolutely, absolutely, but we should also come with honor. We should also come with honor. Our hearts should be with the feeling of, oh, wow, God, you have done so much in my life. You are so amazing. You are so great. You are so wonderful. That you almost, that reverence that you feel when you honor someone who served your country and paid a price for it. The honor I can think of when we went to Pearl Harbor and we were walking through and we were seeing all the things that had happened and the people who had sacrificed, and there, people weren't talking. It was almost like a hush. And there were hundreds of people there that day. But there was this hush of honor, of wow, look at all they have sacrificed for me. That realization, and that should be part of when we come and we honor the Lord with our first fruits, is the realization of, wow, Lord, I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't even be saved. I would not be blessed if it hadn't been for you. So you're honoring the Lord with your wealth, and that means your sufficiency, your possessions, your substance, your riches. And again, we've talked about this before, and you may say, well, I don't have a lot. Yeah, you do. Compared to other countries, we have a lot. The least of us has more than most countries have. Amen? And so when you come before him recognizing, man, Lord, I just am honoring you today because of all that you've blessed me with. And bringing your first fruits, I love this. It's the beginning, the choicest, the finest, the first part, or the first time. We were talking about earlier, I was sharing that we had gotten this raise and we wanted to give our first fruits. That means whatever the first is that you're given of a new income, then you tithe that to the Lord, or you offer it back to him. As you're saying, thank you for this beginning, thank you for this choicest, finest thing. It's the very first one, and I'm saying, you gave me this, and I'm giving it back to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? It's like, it's an honoring. It's saying, I recognize this wouldn't be coming to me if it hadn't have been for you. And God is so good. I shared already, before I even got it in, we already got it back. Amen? That's phenomenal. But when you're walking in obedience and honor, the Lord says, oh, I love that kid. Love that kid. Blessing him. blessing them, right? Because we are doing things according to the word, and when you're acting according to your word, you're opening up the doors for him to continue to bless. Amen? And then the last part says the first of your produce or the first of your increase. There's different words that are used there, but I looked at produce in the translation I was looking at, and it means the product, the revenue, the gain, the harvest, the increase, or the crops. So you're giving him the first share of all of your crops. You're giving him the first share of everything that comes in during your month. So when you get your paycheck, you're giving him the first of that. Before you write any other bill, and even if you have it in your checkbook, it should be a deposit and your offering right underneath that, or your tithes right underneath that. What you're telling the Lord is, I'm cutting off the world right away. I don't want its influence. I don't want its effects. And I am trusting in the Lord for the rest of the month. Amen? And what happens is you'll see that God will bless the other 90. And it will go further than you ever even imagined that it can go. Amen? Our God is so faithful, so honor to come in with a weighty or burdensome or to achieve honor, bringing, Lord, your wealth, your sufficiency, your possessions, your substance, your riches, the first fruits, the beginning, the choicest, the first part of your produce, your revenue, your gain, your harvest, your increase. Give him your first. It's the best. When you get a crop in, the very first part of that crop is the best. It's the choicest. Amen? Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, I just thank you so much, again, for the ABCs that we are learning about tithes and offerings. And I thank you, Lord, that we come this morning to honor you with reverence and respect, to give you the honor and the glory that you are due for all you have done in our lives. We praise you for that this morning. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, you would bless every seed that is sown this morning. Anoint every person. Let your favor be upon them today. Your blessing be upon them. And we praise you, Lord, for the increase that you are bringing from this harvest this week. And we just pray for every seed that is sown, Lord, that you would anoint the giver, that you would bless them, that they would have more than enough. More than enough, Father, to meet every need that they have today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, thanks for coming to church this morning, everyone. Let's just pray and get right into today's message. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, I want to open the word today to Psalm 23. And this is a chapter in the Bible that most people that, you know, even if they haven't been in church much, most people have heard these words. Amen. And as we're, you know, in this season of, you know, the world calls it Easter, but, you know, Resurrection Sunday, the Passover is actually April 22nd. Usually they're a little closer together, but regardless, we're celebrating the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and what that means to you, to us. Amen? And it's good to have some knowledge of what the Word has to say about this, but the emphasis this season that I really feel stirred to share is the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? And if you know anything about a shepherd is there to protect the sheep, to correct the sheep. I shared last week that, you know, we've been doing some wildlife training in the business. We're in the pest control arena also, and we've been doing some wildlife training, and one of the things that the state of Oregon is emphasizing to wildlife professionals is know the difference between a wolf and a coyote. And I don't know about you, but it's not too hard, I wouldn't think, to, you know, to know, oh, that's a wolf, as opposed to a coyote. But they want to break it down to the most simple, elementary, here's what a coyote looks like, here's what a wolf looks like. Here's a coyote footprint, here's a wolf footprint, the size, the weight, all these kind of things. So that if you have trapped a wolf, you know if that's a wolf or a coyote, right? Personally, I think I'd be a little bit more less concerned if it was a coyote than if it was a wolf, right? But in the Word, we know that, you know, the Lord being our shepherd, one of the shepherd's jobs is to rescue sheep from out of harm's way. Amen? And sheep get themselves into trouble. And I found this image on Google Images that I just love. And it's this little lamb that's got stuck in the mud. And here comes behind him, kind of out of focus, is Jesus coming to rescue the lamb, get the lamb out of trouble, right? Has anyone ever had the Lord get you out of trouble, right? Amen. And that's who he is. He is the great shepherd. And so this resurrection season, I want to really hone in on the Lord is my shepherd. And what does that mean? Because a lot of times we only hear these words at a funeral. Amen? And how many know if the person that's in the box that's passed away, if they didn't make the decision before that point that the Lord is my shepherd, it's too late now. So we don't have to wait until a funeral. We shouldn't wait, rather, till our life is over to receive him as the shepherd of our life. Amen? Somebody to say right now, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. But I want to read to you the whole chapter because it's not very long as we get into this. But Psalm 23, and it says this: The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say amen. But I really want to emphasize verse 1 right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that word want, the definition to that in the Hebrew means to lack, to fail, to lessen, to be abated, to bereave, to decrease, to make lower. Amen? Now, how many know those are some things we'd like to see happen to the devil? Right? We'd like to see the devil decrease. That's why we vote. Somebody say amen. That's why we go to the ballot box. That's why we pray. That's why we live for God. Amen. Because we want to see his plans go down and God's plans go up, because God's plans are life and the devil's plans are death. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, you know, talking about the wildlife thing, it's good to be able to identify who the good shepherd is and who the bad shepherd is. The good shepherd, the Bible says, brings life and life more abundantly. Jesus, right? Heaven, health, wholeness, peace. Where the bad shepherd, the devil, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Somebody say, I'm with Jesus. I choose Jesus, right? Because we do have a choice. Amen? But with God, you're going to be increasing in the blessing of God in your life. Any failure in your life, he forgives us of and heals us of and gets us back on track. Increasing in the blessing of God. Amen. The curse is decreasing from our life and the blessing of God is increasing in our life as we walk with him. Amen. So these are good things. But look at John chapter 10. And I just want to read to you some verses out of there in terms of the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. Hallelujah. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever come before me are thieves, or all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." There we go, right? "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by them, by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock." Somebody say, one flock, one shepherd. See, this is a thing, it's good for the church around the world to remember, is if Jesus is Lord of your life, it's one flock, one shepherd. Might be a lot of churches, but if you're preaching Jesus, the way of salvation is Jesus, the cross, the resurrected Savior, we're one body. Amen? We may have uniquenesses in doctrine and how we have church, and all, but we're one body, one shepherd. Amen? Those are important things to remember, right? "Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Now, he's said this multiple times now. He came to lay his life down. The good shepherd. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power." Somebody say power, right? "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, we have a powerful shepherd. A powerful shepherd. And the testimony about the lockdown at the high school this week, and our kids' response was, "Well, God has angels watching over me, and I got the word out." They had a revelation that the shepherd is here with me. Amen. And when there's kids like that in our schools, the whole school is safer. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. When there's teachers like that in a public school arena and Christian school arena, right? It's a safer place for everybody. Amen, right? The Lord is our shepherd. Hallelujah. And I want to look now. One of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible is, you wouldn't believe this, but in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. And we're kind of setting the stage for walking through all the events of the crucifixion and, you know, in weeks to come here. Leviticus chapter 23. Really, the Lord showed me this a few years ago, that all of world history, the mysteries of world history and all that, are hidden in the feasts of the Lord that are laid out in Leviticus chapter 23. It's marvelous. And it gives you a sense of God's got this. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's with me now. He was here before time began. He's all through eternity. And no matter how weird stuff looks right now, how the water there is a tempest and storms and up and down and chaos, and somebody say, God's got this. Nothing is surprising him. Now, Christians need to not lean toward, well, since God's got this, there's nothing for me to do. No, we need to be active in our faith. Just listen to this now. Just attending church in the United States of America right now, you should consider that righteous activism. There are some people high up in authority right now that would think people like us gathering together, preaching the word, talking about Jesus, talking about one way to heaven, they would call us insurrectionists. They would call us domestic terrorists. They would call us haters. And it's all just a lie because they're listening to their shepherd, to their father. Amen. And the word clearly says that the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. What Jesus did on the cross was for everyone. Everybody. Somebody say everybody. Regardless of nationality, regardless male or female, doesn't matter. Amen? But there's still a lot of people in the world that don't believe that. That don't want it. And that's why we pray. That's why we preach the word. And I believe my heart as a pastor is just to point the church in the right direction. Because how many know there's a lot of Christians in the world that are just confused? Hold up. If you have a Bible, hold it up. Just say, this is the way. Walk in it. Up is up, down is down, left is left, right is right, heaven good, hell bad, devil bad, God good. Boys are boys, girls are girls. I mean, it's got to be that basic nowadays. Amen. But look at Leviticus chapter 23. If you have your Bible, if you don't, just remember this. We're recording this. It goes online. But I want you to make some notes in your Bible. Now, first of all, it talks about the Sabbath in verse 3. Again, we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody say, God's got this, right? In verse 3, it says, 6 days you shall work. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. I was listening again to There's a Messianic rabbi I like to listen to on Saturdays that we've known over the years, Joseph Shulam. If you just search Joseph Shulam, great Messianic rabbi. And I like reading what Jews are reading on, Saturday. They always have a portion of the Torah that they read. And then Rabbi Joseph teaches for about 20 minutes on that. And he was focusing on part of the teaching was the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. And he took a minute and he goes, he said something to the effect of, a lot of people right now think you rest for 6 days. And he said, if you rest for 6 days, the seventh day means nothing. That's what he said, right? Oh, somebody said, get to work. Get to work. Have a purpose in your life. Amen? That's part of the doctrine that we hear from the world, from a lot of the radical left Marxist type leaders. Just let us do everything for you. You just do nothing. We'll give you a nickel to keep you from making a dollar. We'll take care of you from cradle to grave. We'll decide when you should die. Creepy stuff, man. Somebody say, not me. I'm with the shepherd. Now, the cool thing about this little lamb is he can do that not just with people. He can do it with nations, man. And the U.S. of A. is that little lamb right now. But somebody say, he's coming. He's coming. And you can already hear the tone changing out there in the media. They're panicking, man. They know it's starting to slip out of their fingers. Right? And we don't laugh at them and point fingers. It is funny. But we keep our eyes on the shepherd. Somebody say, keep your eyes on the shepherd. Amen? But this whole 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. That is a snapshot of world history. Because to God, the Bible says, a day is as 1,000 years. So literally from creation until now, right, it's been about 6,000 years. Or actually, we're finishing the sixth day in world history. So we're just literally at the cusp of entering into the seventh day in world history, which is a rest day, right? Which indicates the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Somebody say, God's got this, right? Now, if you look at verse 5, it says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Somebody say, Passover. Now, we're going to look at six feasts. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I just want you to see it, kind of a flyover. You can study it for yourself, right? But by verse 5, write this verse, 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Jesus Christ is our Passover. Right? Now go down to verse 10. It says, this is after the Passover, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheep of the first fruits. Somebody say, first fruits. And you can write right there, 1 Corinthians 15:20. Talks about Jesus being the first fruits from the dead. Somebody say, he's alive. Jesus is alive. Man, that's the victory of the gospel, isn't it? A resurrected Savior. If he didn't rise, we're all lost, man. Right? No, he rose again. And the word says right there, he's the first fruits from the dead, which means all the rest of us, by our faith in him, are going with him. And those who reject him are going with the other shepherd, the devil. Somebody say, I'm with the good shepherd. Well, do I have a choice, Pastor Steve? Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my kids was sharing that they met a young person this past week of a different culture, and they always see my kids, a lot of times they're at work, and they're, Lindsay particularly is a tutor, and she had her Bible out. This young person came up and said, you know, they started talking, and basically this young person said, you know what, I've always wanted to know more about the Bible, but I just didn't know if it's okay that I come to God, to church, to the Bible. Didn't think she would be accepted. Didn't think she was worthy. This is totally a lie. Somebody say a lie from the devil. There's another lady that I know that refuses to receive communion, right? Because she thinks, in the way she was taught over the years doctrinally by another kind of sect of Christianity, that because of sins in her past, she can't. Somebody say, lie. You know why he shed his blood, right? To pay the price of every sin. So when we receive communion anytime, at home, when you receive the body and the blood of Jesus, you just say, Lord, I thank you. I know I blew it even today, Lord. I blew it. I confess that to you right now. And I thank you for the blood that you shed for me. And I receive my forgiveness and my cleansing of that sin. And by taking the cup and the juice and the bread, I'm saying I receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. You're the first fruits from the dead. And I just absolutely thank you for forgiving me. That's what communion is all about, man. We ought not let the devil rob people. See, he's a robber, and he robs people by things that he says. He has no power. Somebody say, no power except persuasion. Like some of the lies he's telling right now out in the media are, watch out for white Christian, there's another word that they're using, nationalists or whatever. Watch out. No. This ain't about color. It is about being a Christian. There's also another lie out there to Christians. Stay out of politics. Don't talk about that stuff. Hey, listen, when you're talking about mutilation and killing children, it's time for the church to stand up and say something. Hallelujah. Right? So first fruits. All right, the next one, over in verse 16, count 50 days after the seventh Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. That's Pentecost. Somebody say Pentecost, right? And that's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Write that there. These are the New Testament parallels to these verses. And then in verse 24, let's just stop right there for a moment. Somebody say Passover, first fruits, Pentecost. Passover is Jesus died, the blood was shed. We're going to talk about that. First fruits, he rose again from the grave. Pentecost, he sent the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, those things are done. Those things are finished. Do you see how scriptures like this show us things that Jesus is fulfilling and show us literally a snapshot of history? When it says 6 days you shall work and the seventh day is that tells us 7,000 years, right? Literally every week is a reminder he's coming. He's coming every week. How many days are in a week? Somebody say seven. Every single week is a reminder he's coming. He's put all kinds of reminders to the world, to his church. In the church, we need to be broadcasting. Reminder, reminder, reminder. You know, when we did a musical years ago called Bloodbought, and we'd get these really cool strobe lights and all kinds of pyrotechnics and things. And we went to Hollywood Lights, and I would rent lights down there. And they said, man, this one time, Joni, you were on Bloodbought. And they had this strobe light, and he said, this is called an airport strobe. Well, what does that mean? It means airplanes can see these from 10 miles out. I said, I'll take it. And don't you know Christians need to be broadcasting. He's coming. Not so he can see the way in. Don't you know Jesus doesn't need any help, right? It's so the world can understand. So other Christians can remember, be a Christian. Now's not the time to be a fake. Now's the time to be the genuine article. Broadcast it. Sow into it. Be in church. Be a person of prayer. Be a person of the word. Be using it. If you're on social media, be using your social media to be peppering it out there. Peppering it out there. Peppering it out there. He's coming. Hallelujah. So Passover, he died. First fruits, he rose. Pentecost, he sent the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I receive the Holy Ghost. Right? Well, first you get born again. Well, how do I get born again? You pray a prayer. Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life. I apologize for all my sins. I receive you as my Savior and my Shepherd and my Lord and my King. And I will serve you every day the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Born again. Oh, that sounds too easy. Hey, listen, he did the hard part. Anyone that tells you you have to do more than that to get saved is, like he said, a fake shepherd. Liar. I've heard of some sects of Christianity, S-E-T-S, sects of Christianity, that say there are this thing called salvation ordinances. Yes, Jesus did that, but you also need to do this and 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 this, and then maybe you'll be found worthy. Lies, man. Straight up lie from hell. The Bible says doctrines of men and doctrines of devils. Somebody say, stick with the shepherd. It's really a simple concept. I sinned, I needed a savior, I received what he did for me, and I'm saved. Done. Somebody say, that's it. Now from there on, we live for him because we love him. I stop doing what's wrong and I do what's right, not to earn my way into heaven, but because I love him. I love him. Somebody say, I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. That's why when we sin as a Christian, how many know just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't sin anymore? Impossible. Oh, no, 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 no. We're human. We still got flesh. We're still in these bodies that will be redeemed. Right? But that's why it bothers our hearts when we do something we know is a sin. Because I love him. And he doesn't like that. And that's death. And when we realize it, we quickly, somebody say quickly, repent. Bring it right back to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the next three feasts outlined in Leviticus 23 are things that have not happened yet. Because you see, we know he died, we know he rose again, we know he sent the Holy Ghost, and somebody say, if you were looking at a map, there'd be a little star that says, you are here. The next feast it talks about is verse 24. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Somebody say, Feast of Trumpets. What does that sound like to you, Christian? Just shout it out. Starts with an R. Rapture. Rapture. And you can write down there 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Somebody say, that is what is going to happen next. Rapture. Could be today. Could be before we say amen. We could finish this meeting in the clouds. Rapture is happening next. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ rise first. Every time you drive by a cemetery, you ought to talk to it. Hey, all you believers, all you remains of Christians in the ground out there. Rapture's coming. It could be any moment. Be ready to bust out. I mean, that's what the word says. The dead in Christ will rise first. And their bodies will be rejoined with their spirit in the clouds. I'm talking molecules of people. I have an uncle who, actually, this is the anniversary of when my uncle passed away several years ago, Uncle Clint. Minister, great family. Well, they scattered some of his ashes at Oakland A's Stadium around second base. And then they scattered some of his ashes in Hawaii in the ocean. And then they buried some of his ashes here up in Newburgh, Dundee area in a cemetery where a lot of living goods are. So when the trumpet blasts, but you know, this is how big our God is. He knows where every molecule is. And when Jesus said, that's something I shared with Tom yesterday in the hospital. You know, this stroke tried to kill him. One of the verses the Lord gave me to share with him is when Jesus says about himself, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember the story when he called Lazarus? Dead. He was dead for 4 days. Well, here we have people dead for thousands of years, man. And when that trumpet blasts, the dead in Christ are going to shoot out of the ground and be united with their spirit in heaven, in the clouds. And then everyone who's alive and remains on the planet who are believers will join them. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up. But somebody say, that's what's next. Be rapture ready. Just tell somebody near you, be rapture ready. Well, how do I do that? Be saved and be living for Jesus. Be in active service. Don't be a Christian that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not in active service. I'm on leave. Well, you might want to get back into active service. Amen? Because I don't want it to be like, you know, the NFL, how they have those replay rules, and the angels are huddled around the camera. Let's see, is he in? Is he, the rapture's happening, but Steve, does he have both feet down, or one? Somebody say, I'm in. I'm all in. All in. That might be a good subtitle for today's message. All in. Somebody say, I am all in. Yeah, but Pastor Steve, it's getting sticky out there. It's getting sticky. It's getting muddy. It's getting gross, man. And there's pressure on me to conform to society. They're calling me a hater, Pastor Steve. Well, do you love him? See, what the world doesn't understand, or that their God has lied to them and told us we hate them. But really, we're with the one who laid his life down for them. And the same way I got saved, they could get saved, every one of them. And we pray that they do, man. I pray for President Biden. I pray for Kamala Harris. I pray for Hollywood. There's seven mountains of societal influence for, you know, arts and entertainment, for media, for education, for the family, for government. Right? We pray. And there's people involved in those, you know, areas of professional service and, you know, things that they do that are born again. People making films and documentaries that point people up. Actors that are coming out and saying, I can't do this anymore. I'm Catholic, one of them said. I can't do this anymore. There's one guy I'm thinking of right now. You'd know his name. And he's now on social media talking about Lent. We need to fast and pray, man. This is scary stuff. I'm not going to make any more movies right now because I have the fear of God in me, man. And most of his movies I wouldn't see now because of all the profanity. But you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is there's stuff happening. There's an awakening happening. Be expecting people to just, you're that airplane strobe, man. And they're like, whatever that is, I need it, man. I'm hopeless right now. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to be watching for people to come into the house of God that look like Lazarus did coming out of the tomb. You know, blue hair, tattoos, transgender, whatever they are, addicted to some substances, right? Or business people or whatever. This saying, you know what, man, this thing is coming to a close, and whoever Jesus, I just know I need him, man. I know I need him. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm all in. And then the next feast, in verse 27, it says, also, the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. Somebody say, Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer offering made by fire to the Lord. Jews celebrate this every year. They fast for 24 hours on the Day of Atonement. It's a very somber, serious day of repentance. These are fall feasts. The Passover, first fruits, and Pentecost are in the spring. These three are in the fall. Day of Atonement, if you write, you can write down there Matthew 24, verses 27 through 30. This talks about what happens after the rapture. Because did you know after the rapture, when the church is with God in heaven, there is a 7-year period that Revelation and Daniel, there's multiple, you know, things in the Bible that tell you about that period of time when the church is raptured off the planet. Don't you know the church is the restraining force against the devil and what he wants to do in this world? Amen? So when the church is removed, now the devil can get some work done. real work done. And the Antichrist, I mean, this is all what happens during that 7-year period. And everyone, you know, has to get a mark on their forehead, it says, or in their wrist. There's technology now that I heard Elon Musk, God bless people like Elon, and they're doing good works, whether they realize it or not, right? But there's people, we still need to be praying for these people to get saved. But Elon Musk has developed or financed the developing of a computer chip that they just put in someone's brain, a quadriplegic, and he can control his phone with his thoughts. And it's powerful technology. But this type of technology is exactly what the Antichrist is going to use during this 7-year period, where you can't buy or sell unless you have this mark in your body. We got a little taste of it during COVID, where they were saying, are you vaccinated? Did you get the vaccination? You can't come to the Blazers. You can't come to the movies. Show me your card. Show me your card. It's all the opening act. You want to come in? You want to buy and sell? We got to forget your phone. We're scanning your forehead. That's where it's going. I mean, that's what this Day of Atonement symbolizes, because at the end of that 7-year period, this is not a story of the devil taking over. This is a story of the devil being ejected. Because at the end of that 7-year period, multiple nations are going to come against Israel again. Isn't it funny how the devil never changes either? He still hates Israel today. He hated Israel yesterday, Israel in America. Same story. They're going to come against Israel to wipe Israel off the map. And we all, somebody say we all. I need to hear you say we all. Or y'all, whatever, right? We all. We saddle up, this is in the Bible, we saddle up on horses with Jesus and we come back to stop that battle. That is what the Day of Atonement symbolizes. There's going to be a day, somebody say a day. Judgment time for the devil, man. And the body of Christ comes back, and the scripture talks about, Jesus says, as quick as a flash of lightning, the battle is over. It talks about birds of prey feasting on the flesh of these soldiers. I mean, it's ugly, man. It's a somber, serious day for those who hate God. And from that moment, somebody say, from that moment on, for 1,000 more years, somebody say, one more day God time. One more day God time. The reign of Christ on planet Earth begins. On planet Earth. With his family. This is in the Word of God. Amen? No more drugs, no more perversions, All this kind of, no more crime. I mean, the crime level is going to literally drop, and it's not because they're changing laws to redefine what crime is. Boy, the crime levels have dropped. Yeah, that's because you don't call murder, murder, and rape, rape, and drugs. No, we're just changing. There is no more crime. Boy, what a great job we're doing. Oh, no, no, no. That's the devil, man. When Jesus is on the planet with his body, all the heroes of the faith that have gone on before us, ruling and reigning with him for another 1,000 years. Amen? Can I show you one more? We're going to have to do part 2 of this message next week but somebody said, the point of this is to know the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody say, God's got this thing. The main thing is, be with him. Be with him, right? The final one is, verse 34, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. Somebody say 7 days. This is all just so symbolic. 7 days, 7,000 years. And you can write in there Revelation chapter 21. The whole chapter is great, but verse 3. You see, during that 1,000-year reign, it says in Revelation that nations who refuse to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles during that 1,000-year reign, You'll have no rain in your nation. The Feast of Tabernacles represents at the end of the seventh day, the end of that thousand-year reign, you know, the word says that, you know, the Day of Atonement, the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, all get thrown into the abyss. Well, Satan's going to get released, it says, for a short time at the end of that thousand-year reign, and he'll go out, and this is just almost unthinkable. So many people just want to blame the devil for everything. The devil. No, because see, even during this thousand-year reign, there'll still be people on this planet that hate him. Not us. But there'll still be people around the world that just want nothing to do with this Jesus. And we'll be here preaching the gospel. 1,000 years, man. Billy Graham will be back. Smith Wigglesworth will be back. All these heroes of the Peter and John and all the disciples and Donald Trump, hello, will still be here. With all the heroes of the faith, but there'll still be people that reject him even during that time. And so the devil will be released for a short time and he'll gather them together. And guess what they're going to do? Try to attack again. Now, how dumb is that? And at that point, somebody say, at that point, the Father steps in. God the Father. We got God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Ghost. God the Father says, family, this is my turn. And when he sets his foot down on the planet, that's when this whole thing about burning and fervent heat and all this kind of stuff, that is white throne judgment, judgment day. Amen. And all the devil and all of his followers at that point are forever cut off and off to their eternity in the lake of fire, hell. This is truth. And the tabernacle. See, every year during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is, you know, the attack that just happened in Israel, the Hamas planned it on the Feast of Tabernacles. Somebody, you can't tell us that this is not a spiritual battle. They attacked Israel and did all those heinous things on the Feast of Tabernacles. The devil hates God so much. Hates him, hates his people, right? But Jews on the Feast of Tabernacles will build tents. They call them booths. And they decorate them with harvest, and it's a family celebration time of celebrating God. And they leave the ceiling of the booth kind of so you can see through it, because it says they're looking for guests from heaven to arrive. Guests, they're looking up. Somebody say, looking up. And if you read in Revelation, the Feast of Tabernacles means God the Father is bringing his booth down to the planet. All the evil at that point is forever dealt with, and this city from heaven comes and lands right in Jerusalem. And from that point on, the eighth day begins. The eighth day begins, which means eternity. Go, if you make an eight, it never ends. It never ends. It never ends. It never ends. And for those who follow the devil, their torment, their grief, their sorrow, their pain will never end. But for those who love the shepherd and choose Jesus Christ, your joy, your peace, your victory, your health, your prosperity, the love of God never ends. Somebody say, he's got this thing. And then somebody say, and I'm with him. I'm with him. Just stand up on your feet right now as we close today. We'll pick it up again next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just lift your hands and just make a fresh commitment to say, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you, Jesus. Not because I'm afraid of life without you. That may be a good place to start. Because let me tell you what, I am terrified of life without Jesus. But once you get born again, that just goes away, man. I choose you because I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. Just tell him you love him. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for the price that you paid. You laid your life down, the good shepherd. You threw yourself between me and hell. Oh, I receive it, Lord. I accept it. I accept what you did. I was talking to God about that one day. Because you see, I'd had this perception of the Lord that, of the Father, I mean, you know, that the only reason he can even tolerate me, to look at me, is because of what Jesus has done. And he corrected me on that. He said, you know what, Steve, that's not reality. That's not true. The truth is, I sent Jesus to do what he did because I love you. I don't love you because you love the Lord and accepted him. I sent him because I love you. I love you before, and for all time. And he said, I don't accept you, right, because of all those things. I accept you. You know, he was telling me, you just accept my love for you. You just accept and receive my love for you. You just accept and you receive the love that I have for you. And I believe there may be more than one person in here, and you have a hard time believing that God is your heavenly Father and that he loves you. And I just want that to break through for you today. In the name of Jesus, somebody just say, my Father loves me. My heavenly Father loves me. And I receive his love today. And may that love shine through us to those around us and point them to the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Let's pray in the Spirit. Oh, shofele ki la 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 la. Lay aside the weights of life. Lay aside the guilt. Lay aside the shame. Lay aside the hurts and the pains, and come to me, the Lord says. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I'm your healer. I'm your shepherd. I'm your Savior. I'm your Lord. I'm your King. I'm your Abba Father. I love you, my child. I receive you today. Walk in my love. Walk with me. Walk with me. Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're here today, before we close, and you just say, you know what, Pastor Steve, I just really want today to be that day that I receive God as my Heavenly Father, and I'm not going to walk under this sense of unworthiness any longer, but I'm seeing him as my Heavenly Father, and I'm declaring that I receive his love for me. If that's you, and you want today to be your day of breakthrough, I want you to come up here to the front while we're all praying, and I'm going to anoint you with oil and agree with you for that. Just take another minute or two here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're saying, Lord, not only am I committing to be saved and live for you, but I will walk with you. I will receive you as my Heavenly Father, and I receive you, your love for me. Your love for me. A breakthrough of the love of God. If you need a breakthrough of the love of God in your life, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we'll give it another minute or so here. If anyone just wants to be prayed over, Kalalave Bishambo. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. My Father loves me. My Father loves me. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I just see us all like we're just walking through a portal. Deeper places, deeper places, deeper understanding and revelation and insight into the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it's changing me. The love is changing me. The love of God is changing me. Glory, glory, glory. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise, 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 praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen.